All this morning, as I came into the building, I felt like somebody this past week has really battled depression. And to that person or persons, I want to tell you that God has a brand new week prepared for you. If you are hurting in your emotions this morning, if there's some things that's going on, maybe you can't even talk about them, I'm going to just ask you to begin to lift those hands up. God's going to meet you right where you're at. If you are in need of a healing in your physical body, lift those hands up. We still serve the healer. We still serve the provider. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for everything that you're going to do in this service. Lord, I give the service over to you right now, and I tell you to have your way. Lord, for everybody in this place and their suffering right now in their body, Lord, I thank you that you're making them well. God, that they leave here healed in the name of Jesus. For every person, and they've struggled in depression this week, God, there's things that they can't even talk about because it hurts too bad. Lord, I ask that you'd give them comfort like only you can. God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd walk down every aisle. God, meet us where we're at this morning. Lord, if we're in disaster, God, I ask that you'd meet us right there and pull us out. God, if we're in need this morning, I ask, Lord, that you'd make us to have more than enough. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all like steak? I love steak. I'm a steak girl. Here lately, I've just been air frying some steak, and I'm just eating that steak just by itself. I don't want any sides with it. I'm just going to have steak, and that's what I'm liking here lately. And it's keeping me satisfied. Amen. Well, I'm going to feed you some steak this morning. For everybody that likes steak. And what that means is that this is not a word for people that cannot understand some of the elementary things about the Word of God. We're going to have a very mature word this morning. And I'm going to minister on sin. And I'm going to tell you that there's a couple different types of sin. One is the sin, the habitual, consistent, knowing, sinful knowing. That is the sin that we commit, and when we're doing it, we know that we're sinning, and we do it anyways. Okay? Now, there's also the ignorant sin, the sin that we do, and perhaps we don't know that we're doing a sin, that we're committing a sin. And I'm going to show you in the Word those two types of sin in the Word. Now, let me just explain that regardless of what kind of sin we're going to talk about today, sin is sin. Sin is sin, all the way across the board. Sin is sin. And go with me now to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 34. I'm going to encourage you to begin to bring your Bibles, because it's not enough for me to just stand up here and read this. You need to investigate and to study and examine the Word of God, because only when you get into the Word does the Word get into you. If you're not getting into the Word will not get into you. I'm going to say that again, and this is not a condemning message, but it is time for reality. It is time for people to wake up, sober up, and grow up. Amen? If you do not get into the Word of God will not get into you. Why is that? Because it cannot. If you will not get into the Word, it will not get into you. You have a responsibility. Do not get mad at God when your life is in shambles and nothing's going right. David said in the Psalms, Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. When you put the word into your heart, that word is alive, it's living, and it's active, and it begins to govern your thoughts and your actions, your deeds, and everything that goes on about a person. It'll keep you in check when you put the word into your life. Amen. So in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, I have learned that you can take so many things just out of one verse in the Bible. It is never about how much you read it. It's about what you can understand. If you read the whole Bible from front to back, but you understand nothing, it's not going to do you any good. Now, religious people don't like me telling you that because we just think as long as we show up to church on Sunday and as long as we read the Bible and as long as we shake the preacher's hand, we're good. And I'm telling you that that's not the case. Because the Word tells you to be a doer and not a hearer only. So in this one verse, we're going to pull out several things. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, now I'm going to set the scene for you. Jesus is on the cross. And this is right in the middle of his crucifixion. And there were several things that Jesus said right before he died. And we're going to look here. Here is one of the statements that he made. Father, now he's addressing his Father who was in heaven. And he's having a conversation. You know, all that prayer is a conversation between you and God. That doesn't need to be overcomplicated. You don't have to have a PhD to pray. I'm going to also encourage you not to be a lazy Christian and say, well, I don't have to pray because God knows my heart. Honey, God knows your heart and you don't. That's why when we open our mouth and things come out that we didn't realize were going to come out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ever cuss somebody out and you think, how did I do that? Look here, I'm going to preach where we live. You don't think I get asked almost on a weekly basis, Pastor, how do you think I'd cuss that person out? Well, because, honey, you had that up inside of you and it came out. Whatever you allow to stay, that's what's coming out of you. If you ever wonder how you were capable of something, it's because you let it come in here. You opened the front door or the back door and you let it come in there and have tea and crumpets with you and then it started coming out. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, there's some sin that people partake of, and if they even had an inkling of what that sin was going to cost them, they'd never do it. Because sin is expensive. Sin will take you further, further, further than you ever wanted to go. It will make you stay longer in a place that's not good for you, longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it will definitely make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. Now, I was at the dinner bucket yesterday, and I'm getting frugal in my old age. And I don't like to spend money on things that I don't need. How many of you with me? If I need it, bless God, I'll buy it and I'll be happy to do it. But Dwayne, I don't like spending money on stuff if I don't need it. Well, I had some of Carson's friends over. I love these little guys. They're a good influence. It's a good situation and I like having them over. We went to the dinner bucket. Now, a part of the reason I am the way I am is because I've been in food ministry for 5 years. And if you don't think that food insecurity in Logan County is a thing, you need to come up on a Wednesday and I'll give you an education. That's a problem in this community. People are hungry. Well, the older these kids get, they think they're grown. And along with that thinking, they think that they can order off the grown-up menu, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you need to eat like a grown-up if you're going to order off the grown-up menu. That's my personal opinion. Well, I had them all there. Tom? Let me tell you something. I didn't know these 13-year-olds were so intelligent. Here's what they did. I want a chicken strip dinner. I don't want the salad. We want hush puppies instead. We'll take French fries. One of them wanted mashed potatoes and all the fixings. And I'm sitting here going, how are these skinny children? Where are we putting all this? And I was like, okay, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm learning to try to do that with people. Because people surprise you every once in a while. Not yesterday. We got done with the meal. We packed up almost just as much as they brought out. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So out of this one verse, here's some things that we can pull out. There was a need for forgiveness. There was a need for forgiveness. They didn't know what they were doing, and they didn't know that they needed the forgiveness. But see, before they even realized that they were sinning, see, they didn't realize they were sinning probably till after he was dead and they realized who they killed. See, before you even do your next sin, Jesus has already asked for that forgiveness for you. But there was a need for forgiveness. We can do things that God calls sin and not know it. We can do things that God calls sin and not be aware of it. Another thing I'm going to pull out of this verse. This is some of the last part of his life here on this earth. And in the last of the last, he still had forgiveness in focus. He was still focused on the very thing that he came to do. Forgiveness was one of the main things that he came here to do for us. There was not a way for us to be in heaven until Jesus came down and lived among us and became sin for us and died on the cross for us. There was no way. And in the very end, he still asked God to forgive us. He did not lose sight of it. Sometimes the believer, I don't know if they make people the way that they used to. I'm not sure because sometimes with humanity, I start questioning humanity because it's like the very second something gets hard, people quit. And people quit God. And the Word does not tell you that life is going to be easy. Life ain't easy all the time. Life ain't perfect. You're going to struggle. You're going to have trials. Things are going to be difficult. And that's a part of why we need to get into the Word. Some people are so mad at God because things happened in their life. God never promised that life was going to be easy for you, but what he did promise was that he'd be with you. What he did promise is if you'll stick in there, he's going to make all grace abound. What he did promise you is at the end, he will make all things work together for your good. But he did not promise you a life without trial. Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. So here in the very end, some of the last words that he spoke was asking and interceding for forgiveness. There was a need for forgiveness, and the people that needed it didn't even realize they needed it. But he was asking for it. These were some of his very last words. The world right now is full of people that are stuck on having the last word. People are hell-bent and on their way to hell just over being ugly and getting their point of view across. And I want to remind you, if you're somebody and you just are hell-bent on having the last word, hell-bent on everybody seeing things your way, hell-bent on getting everybody to come on board with you and all your wrongness, let me tell you something. The last words that were spoken, some of the last things that Jesus said was asking for your forgiveness for the things that you would do in your life that you wouldn't even realize were sin. Now, this ain't a sugar-down message. I've preached plenty of those. It's not going to be today. No, today we're going to have steak. We ain't even going to have steak sauce. It's just steak clear across the board. That's it. There's no potatoes. There's no none of that. Because look here, I have a responsibility that by the time you leave the building, you know what was preached about. It is not my job to dictate your feelings. It is not my job to get that music just right. Let me tell you something. If you don't like the music that was played today, you get in your car and you put it on something you like and you give God the glory for that. If you're uncomfortable, I'm sorry we got here early enough and the air conditioner's on. If you like, I don't know what to tell you. But see, at the end of the day, we're going to talk about sin today, and we're going to have a clear understanding of what's going on. We're talking about two different kinds of sin. And Jesus said, God, they don't even know what they're doing. But God, forgive them. You know, there's things that if people could see the decisions that they've made today, how they're going to affect them 5 years from now, you would have never done it. You would have never done it. See, the devil will talk you into something so fast that it'll cost you years to get yourself up out of that. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He don't need no new tricks because those ones are working just fine. See, when the devil can talk a believer into willful sin, he's got that believer. God's looking for a person that's going to resist the devil. Because, see, one and one is still going to be two. Resist him and he'll flee from you. The problem is the Christian in modern day is not resisting the devil. We're letting him in the front door, making him a member of the family and letting him have Thanksgiving dinner with us. And see, God wants you to boot that out. There is need for forgiveness. Go with me now to Leviticus chapter 5. We're in verse 14. I'm going to read a verse here. It's always great to hear someone that will just preach out of the Bible, because you get into less error when you got a pastor that will just preach it out of the Word. And that way, when people get offended, I can just refer them back to the Word of God. Because, and I will tell you, the Word of God, it is offensive. Because it will tell you that you're wrong when you're wrong. It'll tell you that you need to change when there's something in your life that God ain't happy with. So in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 14, it says, the Lord said to Moses, when a person commits a violation and sins unintentionally in regard to any of the Lord's holy things, and then see the Lord in this time and in this culture, God explained to Moses what was to be done when people sinned unintentionally and unknowingly. Why does God go through this with Moses? Because he understood that people would sin and they would not know that what they were doing was sin. Now I'm going to take you to another verse that's going to say the same thing. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. Let's skip on down just a smidge. If a person sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though he does not know it, he is guilty and will be held responsible. Now, this is out of the Old Testament. I'm going to fix and bring you to a New Testament verse, because there's some people and they think, well, the Old Testament, there's nothing in there for us. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says that all Scripture is profitable for teaching and is God-breathed. God breathed it out. There's so much stuff you can pull out of every part of the Bible. But see, the Word says that there was going to be some sins that were committed that people would do and they wouldn't know that they were doing it. Now, Jeremiah, how many of you know Jeremiah? He usually sits in the back. He's a very helpful person. He is so funny. He likes to travel. And he said, Pastor Kelly, I got a very expensive ticket the other day when I was traveling. Apparently, I went through a toll booth thing and I didn't know it was a toll thing. And I got a ticket. And I didn't even know I did something wrong. Now, let's take something so simple as that. Does Jeremiah still have to pay that ticket? Yes, he does. I rest my case with that. I'm not done entirely, but we're going to put a pause on that. We'll put a little pin on there. There are times, Brenda Babe, where we sin and we don't realize we're doing it. still sin. Okay. Go with me to 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 through 10. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. I'm going to read a part of this one more time. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. Here's the part about sin. We all have a part of us that is a sinful nature. We all do. How many of you can tell yourself, and you're smart enough to know, and you've done enough self-reflecting that you know, there's some stuff in your life that you're prone to doing. You're prone to it. You have a tendency to do it. We all have our little demons that we got to keep in check. Okay? Now look, if I'm walking, and you know what? Don't get all huffy and puffy with me. I got to be able to preach and tell it like it is in a way that people can understand it. I'm not going to walk past a bar, and Brother Larry, when I'm walking past a bar, I don't feel nothing. Why? Because that's not something I'm prone to doing. I ain't feeling nothing. Why? Because I'm not a drinker, never have been. Am I saying drinking is sin? No, I'm not. So don't call me up later and gripe me out. Tired of them phone calls. Gracious. Can't do nothing. I mean, people are like, why is Pastor Kelly so edgy? Well, my God, shadow me for a week. You'll know. You won't even have to ask. I get accused for more stuff that I don't do. Now, look here. Let me think about some of my sins I like to do. Okay. Well, you get me to being around somebody I don't like. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes to get me to just shut up if I'm around somebody I don't like, now that's something I'm more prone to do, and is opening my mouth and giving somebody the what for. I may not drink, but by golly, this mouth, when it gets started, it's hard to shut it up. Sometimes I sin with my mouth. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But see, whatever your little thing is, I hope that you know what your tendency is so you can put a guard around that. Build a fence around that area. Get it, y'all that have little boys, man, when I was shopping for my kids back in the day, I used to make sure that I got their pants double enforced around the knees because that was the number one thing that was going to mess up first. Well, when you got a tendency to do a specific sin, you better guard that place in your life because, see, on a day where maybe you're having an off day, you may get yourself in a right position where you do that sin. You need to put a guard up over that. You need to get a safety net up over that. Okay. Stop putting the sin in you that you and God work so hard to get out of you. What God has delivered you from, don't go back to it. How many of you ever seen a dog puke and then go back and eat it. Oh, that's so gross. Hey, that's in the Word of God. God talks about people that do the same thing. And I had that in my notes, and I don't know where it went. Oh, here it is. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 20 through 22. If they had escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. So the Word is talking about a person that God done delivered them, and then they got up entangled in it again. How many of you, you've ever been saved, hopefully you are, and you did something, and you knew it was wrong, and you did it anyways, and you got yourself all tangled up in that sin, and you were thinking, oh my God, why did I do this to myself? God got me out of it, and I got myself back in it. What does the Word say when that happens? It would have been better if you'd have never known God than to know Him and to do that again. Why? Because, see, then it's not ignorance is bliss. It's just ignorance is ignorance, and then you got something else there. It says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. You know, it's one thing for somebody to do a bunch of stuff and they not know God and they not know right from wrong. But let me tell you something. When the believer knows that right from wrong and they do it anyways, there is an accounting for that'll make you shiver. Why? Because those that God loves, He will correct. We are living in a day and age where people cannot take correction at any capacity. People just can't take it. Let me tell you something. In the last words of Jesus, He was asking, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The preacher that's going to preach your funeral is not even the last one that's going to have the last thing to say about you. It's going to be God, and He's going to say one of two things. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Or He'll say, come in, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. There is no gray shaded area. It is one or the other. Now, people don't like this type of preaching because there is no gray shaded area in there. There is heaven and there is hell. And I am not a fire and brimstone pastor, but today I am. Okay? Why? Because I love you so much that I don't want you dying and going to hell on my watch, and then I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, could I have done any better for them? You need to know where you stand with God by the time you leave the building. And if there's some things in your life that you're doing and you know it's sin, I am trying my best to talk you out of doing those things because God is going to hold you accountable. How many of you have ever thought, God, I wish I could just die instead of being corrected by you? Because, see, when God corrects you, there's been times, Paul, I was thinking, man, I'd rather be dead than take this correction. It's so brutal. Why? Because God loves you. There's been times where I've had to discipline my kids, and I haven't wanted to. And God said, if you really love those boys, Kelly, you really love them. See, don't talk about how much you love your kids. Love them. That's a hard thing to do because we want to be their friend. I get it. See, if God really loves you, those that He loves, He'll correct. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. If God has set you free in here this morning, stay out of the mud. If you got yourself back in the mud, get your butt out of the mud, get a water hose, wash yourself off, and stop it. I ain't got a pretty way to tell you that. I got a dog named Max. He's about 10 pounds overweight. He's just fat. And half of that's my fault. He got fatter when I came down to live at the lake. And Max is just, he's just wide. He's just a big old thing now. And Max will eat so much that he'll puke. And I'll hear him over there in the corner gagging. I'm just like, oh my gosh, overfed that dog again. And he'll puke it up. And then he'll look around. And he'll go eat it up. But now, see, I've just taken you to a place where the Word of God says people do this same thing. Oh, it's so gross. It's so gross. It would be gross if we puked and we went and ate our vomit. But, Dwayne, people do that every day. Spiritually, every day. I wish we thought it was just as gross when we did that. See, what God has worked hard to pull you out of, stop getting back in it. Because that's willful sin. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 139. You say, Pastor, okay, I don't want to willfully sin anymore. I don't want to unintentionally sin. What do I do? I'm gonna show you right here. Because I don't believe in preaching messages without addressing the problem and then telling you what to do about the problem. You ever leave somewhere and you're like, okay, I now know I have a problem, but how the heck do I fix it? I don't preach messages like that. I'm going to let you have an answer. It's going to be out of the Word of God. If you got any questions, message me later. Psalms chapter 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Invite God to come into your heart and do a real good search. Let it be your prayer every day. God, come into my life. Come into today. Lord, I ask you right now to search me. Lord, I ask you to know my heart because, God, I don't know my heart. I'm going to tell somebody in here this morning, you don't know your heart. The devil is deceiving you, and if you're not careful, you're going to get out so far that it's going to cost you some years. Now, I know this is a real sobering message. I knew it before I got here. I knew it when I was getting it. God loves somebody in here so much, he's being very direct with you this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Somebody needs to wake up and they need to say, God, right now, I invite you into this life, into today, into Sunday. Lord, I'm asking you, God, I'm begging you to come up in this heart of mine that's so messed up because, God, I don't know it. Lord, I ask that you do a thorough search inside of me. God, not only do I ask you to search me, but God, I ask you to know my heart because, God, I don't know it. Lord, I thought I knew it, and God, it led me to some places that you said I shouldn't go in your word, but God, I done went there, and Lord, I'm paying for some things because I did wrong. God, it wasn't my mama, it wasn't my daddy, but God, it was me. Lord, I ask that you'd get up in here and know this heart. God, I ask that you'd reveal this heart to me. Amen. Now, there's some other things. Oh, here's one that people don't even have the guts to ask God to do. Test me. God, I ask that you test me. God, I ask that you test me. A lot of believers are failing some very important tests in your life, and you're asking God why you've been stuck for years. Well, because you can't pass that test that God keeps bringing you full circle to. The Word doesn't say straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it by accident. You're going to have to work at this salvation thing. And it's a big old workout. And that's why we ain't got time to be worried about what everybody else is doing, because we got our hands full with ourselves. Stop being nosy Nancy and just be concerned Connie and worry about your own self. Amen? That's something we can all relate to. Test me. When's the last time you done said, God, test me? I don't like God to test me because, angel, I don't pass it all the time. And then when I don't pass, then there's things that I got to correct. And that means I'm going to have to change some things. I don't like to change things because I'm pretty set in my ways. But God tests me, and here's a key one that is very swept over most of the time. God know my anxious thoughts. God know my anxious thoughts. Let me tell you something to the person that struggles with anxiety. I can preach this because I live with it. Amen. If you'd ask God to search you and know those anxious thoughts, many mistakes are made because a thought of anxiety entered your mind and you ran with it and then you made some bad calls in your life. That's why the Word says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. A lot of times we're doing some dumb stuff and we don't realize what we're doing. And some of the reason we don't realize is because we've had some anxious thoughts. How many of you know that 90% of the things you worried about, they didn't ever happen? But the devil will get you to believe in they're going to happen. And because of that, you'll make some bad decisions just because of the anxious thought. Ask God to know the anxious thoughts. Why? Because anxiety don't need to stay there. Anxiety don't need to stay there. And you don't need to nurse it. Oh, I can't go in public because I got anxiety. Look here, I got anxiety every day. You know what I do, Tina? I do it with the anxiety. Because see, here's what I've determined in my life. Anxiety's leaving. Depression's leaving. Why does it have to leave, Brenda? Because I'm not going to nurse it. Brother Mike, I can have anxiety at church just like I can have anxiety at Walmart. And all the anxiety-filled people, you're getting offended. Don't get offended. Talk yourself out of that because that's a dumb thing to do. If I didn't love you so much, I wouldn't put this out here so plain for you. But I care what's going on with people. I care where you're going to go. It says, know my anxious thoughts. Now here's something. If you don't hear anything else I'm saying, I want you to be in Psalms 139. I want you to get in verse 24. This is important for your life. See, we're talking about how we're going to stop sinning. We're talking about how we're going to admit it and quit it. See if, this is somebody talking to God. This is conversations we should be having with God every day. See if there is any offensive way in me. Do you know how intelligent a person would be if they actually done this stuff? God, today's Sunday. It's 11:40. God, I ask you right now to come up in here and search me. Lord, is there anything in my life that's offending you? God, is there anything in my life that's offensive to you? God, is there anything in my actions and in my thoughts and in my heart that's offensive to you, God? Lord, am I offending you? See, in a world where we all got to have the last word and we're ugly and we're snooty over it, remember that some of his last words on the cross was, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Now let me tell you something. For the person under the sound of my voice right now, when you know it's wrong, you're accountable. Look, if you'd get in your word and you'd begin to see what's right and what's wrong, the unintentional things would stop too. Because see, God's word will tell you what's wrong. Everybody's squirming. Am I really stepping on your toes? Everybody's got the squirms today. Well, praise God. Lord, see if there's anything that's offensive to you inside of me. Pastor Kelly, you offended me. And I'm quitting. You know how many times I've been told that? Too many. You keep quitting everything you start. Keep on doing that. You'll never go anywhere in your life. If God don't have the right to correct you, you're going to be stuck in your life. God, direct me. God, correct me. Lord, perfect me. God, guide me. Lord, come inside of me and tell me what's offending you about me. Stop worrying about what you're offended about. Because some people, they live their life in offense. And nobody can say or do nothing. Because they're offended all the time. Ask God what you're doing that's offending the heck out of Him. Don't get upset when your life is in shambles and everything's going wrong. Ask God what's going on that you're offending Him. When is the last time you said, God, what am I doing that's offending you? Lord, I don't want to offend you. God, I love you. God, when everything was wrong in my life, you're the only one that didn't leave me, God. So, God, I'm asking you to search me and to tell me what's offending you about me. Every once in a while, Dad will call me if I ain't talked to him in a couple of days, and he'll say, Kel, are we fighting or anything? I'll say, no, why? Well, I mean, I feel like you're avoiding me. No. I mean, most of the time I'm like, no, I'm not avoiding you. But you know what? Get with God and say, God, hey, it's me. It's my little eyeball popped open. It's 4:33 on Monday morning. God, is there anything I'm doing that's offending you? I've learned that it's the people that are so offended all the time that they are the ones that are doing most of the offending themselves. Well, now I've just gone on to meddling. I'll stop that. Next verse, Psalms 119. We're going to look at verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I'm going to encourage you this morning. How do you keep yourself from sinning? Live according to the word. Live according to the word. You can't live something that you don't know. You can't live something that you don't know. I seek you with all of my heart. I'm going to tell you this morning, half-hearted efforts are going to get you nowhere. God, I seek you with everything I got. Do not let me stray from your commands. When is the last time you prayed, God, don't let me stray off? Lord, you do whatever it takes. Nobody's praying that hardly this day and age because, see, people don't want God to do whatever it takes. They want God to just let them fly on and breeze by doing what they know is wrong. But see, you won't be able to stay up in the church like this. Because this pastor here is a word pastor. And what I preach, I will preach it right out of the word of God. And if you're uncomfortable here, the uncomfort is actually conviction. Conviction. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart. Here's the one I quote almost every service. Lord, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If the word is inside of your heart, you're going to have a harder time sinning. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. When's the last time you just said, God, teach me your will? Teach me, God. God, I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to be teachable, God. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. You know, there's sin that you may want to do, and instead of doing those things that you really want to do because your flesh wants you to do it, what you should do instead is just say, thank you, God, because I've reached a point in my life and in my salvation where I'm going to rejoice that I'm smarter to stay away from that than to get in it. Because you know what? If to the person that when they get an itch, you think we don't get an itch and want to go off and pull some shenanigans? How many of you feel the itch sometimes and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to do that thing. That's going to make me feel good. No. I've done some stuff that in the moment I thought was going to be something that made me feel great. And then I done it. And then the guilt and the condemnation and the stuff that come up over me and the demons and the bad spiritual problems. See, when they come up and roost up in your nest, oh my gosh. See, there's some things that people think that they're going to like. And let me tell you, when it gets in full bloom, you're going to wish and pray to God for just a relief from the sin that you got up in your life. That's why I'm trying to talk you into just saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Nope. Man, sometimes I'm wrestling with myself all day long about something I'm wanting to do to the point where I'm like, Frank, I'm just going to go to bed. Because the odds are, if I stay awake, I'm doing this thing. Hello, sleeping pill. I'm knocking myself out before I commit that one. Lord, your word, I hid it in my heart, and I'm going to take a nap on it. Because I'm trying hard not to do that thing, God. I rejoice in following your statutes. You know what? When stuff looks bad for my life and I'm following the word of God, even when it looks bad, I'm still in a state where I'm rejoicing. Because see, I know that following God is going to guarantee me victory every single time. Every time. God does not have a bad track record. I do, but he doesn't. And when I follow his word, it's a 100% guarantee of success every time. Stop looking to the left and stop looking to the right and wishing you had what somebody else did. You know what? Pay the price and you'll have it. A lot of people don't like to pay the piper. What is the piper? Jesus. He wants your whole life, not just little categories of it. He wants it all. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I consider your ways, God. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. When you make the decision that you will not neglect the word of God, right there is the person that is unstoppable. God will back you every time. God, I will not neglect your word. Lord, even though it doesn't look good for me, God, I'm not going to neglect what you've said. God, what you've said over me, Lord, you've ordained it. God, you will establish it. God, I'm not going to neglect your word. For the believer that makes that decision, you're going to have a hard time sinning. Because see, the word that's inside of your life, it will direct you and it will correct you. Do not neglect the studying of the Word of God. Do not neglect the Word. Oh, I got a busy life. Look here. I don't know anybody busier than I am. I don't want to hear your excuses. And neither does God. You see, when he was on the cross, there was no excuse on his lips. Lord, I'd like to die for these people, but they're ungrateful and they're terrible. No, he left that part out. He said, Father in heaven, I'm asking you right now to forgive them. God, they don't know what they're doing. Don't hold it against them. Now, some of you ain't like this message, perhaps, but you know what? At least it's been truthful and I've kept it real. Why? Because, see, your life is real. Your life is real. Don't get stuck in some hamster wheel living a mediocre life and being mad at God the whole time. No, you keep it real with yourself and you live by the word and you make the word get up inside of you and that word's coming out. Amen. Last place for me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Some pastors do a really bad job of thinking that God just wants to judge people. God don't want to judge you. I said, God don't want to judge you. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. But if, and that's a big if, but if we judged ourselves. Whoa, is this God asking us to have a little self-examination and a little self-reflection? I think it is. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. What is this? This is God saying, if you would judge yourself, I wouldn't have to judge you. How do you keep yourself from sinning? Take your inventory every day, moment by moment. Look at your life. If you're not happy with some things, take your inventory and say, God, I'm not happy with some things. Lord, help me to do Psalms 139. God, search me. God, know my anxious thoughts. Lord, is there something that's offending you? Because, God, I don't want to offend you. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. See, God don't want to judge you. God is looking for every single way to let people come into heaven. He's not looking for ways to keep you out. But you've got to judge yourself. Judge yourself. Look at your life. Are there things in your life that are making you feel good right now, that are making you feel justified right now, that are places of comfort for you right now, but God in His Word, He says that they're sin? Now, Dad, I'm going to put you on the spot. I believe you know how to finish up this message. I'm going to let you do it.
the glory of God. We've all sinned, okay? The potential, after being born again, you have a potential to sin because the sin nature is not gone. Because part of salvation is to work that out. See, it doesn't say the best thing is for God to judge you and correct you. It says the best thing is for you to judge yourself. You know, I've found it so much easier for me to judge somebody else than it is to judge myself. I can tell you that. Don't feel bad. Don't feel, you know, I'm 72. I'm still working out my salvation. I'm still trying to do this message better. And it's part of it. It's part of the joy of being saved, is to work your salvation out. The last place where Kelly read it, 1 Corinthians 11, that's the communion chapter. And it says if you take communion in an unworthy way, it says for this reason some people have failed in life. They become sick and can't get over it. They become this and can't get over it. And even people have died. Now this is part of true salvation. And I had the joy of speaking, for instance, with McKenna about salvation. Wednesday night she asked Jesus to come in her heart. What you're saying is, Lord, I'm going to try to do the word. And I don't know anybody anymore, patience. The word says that God changes us by his goodness and kindness. This morning, you're still alive. He's good and kind to each and every one of us. Now, let's just take a moment. Just take a moment and just reflect in your heart. You don't have to show any outward appearance. See, it's not anything to do with the outward. It has to do with my God. We want to go to heaven. We want to please God. You know what? Going to heaven is something that we get. You know, you'll fall in love with God where you just want to please him. Just get that in your heart right now. Just get that in your heart. Now what I'm going to ask you to do, if there's something that you know is in your heart that God's dealing with you, I want you to say in your heart right now that this week until next Sunday, you're going to try to work on that. You're going to try to work harder than you have in a while. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. This isn't about putting you on the spot to people. This is about putting you on the spot with God Almighty. We have to do that. Then and only then is God real with us. You are lovely people. You're just what God is looking for. Don't pass yourself over and say, well, he could never. Yes, he could love every one of us, every one of you. You're beautiful people. Just think about what's been said today. It's not easy for a pastor to preach a message like that. But that's what being said. It's saying, let's be real with ourselves. Forget the guy next to you. Forget about the person at work you don't like. Forget about the teacher at school you don't like. What about you? And if you would, and if you'll let me, I want to leave you with a blessing this morning. Would you stand up and let me bless you? Because the job of the ministry is to bless you, to teach you, but to bless you. And I just want to bless you and say these words to you right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his presence upon you, and the Lord give you peace. The Lord give you peace. The Lord give you forgiveness. The Lord show you how, Father, show everyone in this room how good you are to all of us. Thank you, God, for your patience and your love. Thank you for a lifetime to work out our salvation. Could we do one more thing together? Could we say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, let's say it together. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We love you so much. We've got lots of food for you. And